Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey folks, K-Mac here, and I got a question for you. Does your pet have the same energy they used to? Maybe they're having problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or even goopy ears. Well, if you answered yes to any of those, your pet needs DinoVite. Now, your pet's diet needs more nutrients from protein, vitamins, and probiotics, but many of today's pet foods use grain as fillers. And to make matters worse, well, many of the nutrients in your dog's food are baked out during the manufacturing process, and it's starving your dog from the vital nutrients they need. DinoVite is an all-natural daily whole food supplement that helps support your dog's immune system, digestion, healthy skin, and shiny coat. For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted DinoVite to help create a healthy diet to make the difference with their furry family. Go to DinoVite.com and get on track for a healthy pet today. That's DinoVite.com. Back with you for a Friday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report. As always, I'm your buddy, Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for the home of the world champs, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM, along with the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. Friday morning, June 24th, 2022, and we are looking forward to a big weekend here at Truist Park. Braves and the Dodgers. It's a three-game series starting tonight. The return of Freddie Freeman. And, of course, we'll talk more about the matchup with the red-hot Dodgers coming up here in just a few moments. Speaking of Freddie, coming up a little bit later on in our show, going to revisit an interview I did with him out in Los Angeles a couple of months ago as the Braves took on the Dodgers. First time he saw his former team. If you missed that from earlier this season, lots of memories of his time in Atlanta, what the Braves and what Snit and what the city will always mean to him. We'll get to that coming up in just a few moments, and later on, we will take a peek at this date in baseball history as well. Lots to get to, and we're happy to have you with us here on a Friday morning. Braves are coming off a 7-6 win over the Giants yesterday afternoon at steamy Truist Park. Temperatures in the mid to upper 90s at first pitch yesterday, and the Braves' bats stayed as warm as the weather. They got off to a quick start. Dansby Swanson, a leadoff homer in the bottom of the first of his career, and that got things started on the very second pitch of the ballgame. Braves grabbed themselves an early 1-0 lead. Giants would come back and tie it on an RBI single off the bat of Kirk Casale in the second inning, but the Braves offense would get to work there in the second inning as they would send all nine batters to the plate. They would score on an RBI single from Michael Harris II. Dansby Swanson would follow with the bases loaded hit by pitch. And then it was a two-run single from Travis d'Arnaud and a sac fly from Marcell Ozuna. That made it an early 6-1 lead. Braves tacked on another in the fourth on another solo homer from Dansby Swanson, his 12th of the season. Swanson's homers yesterday went 436 feet and 398 feet. First career leadoff homer, seventh career multi-homer game, and his first of the 2022 season. Braves would have to hang on, yo, yesterday in the ninth inning. They gave Kenley Jansen a 7-5 lead. Jock Peterson would make it a one-run game with a solo shot, his 16th of the year, 426 feet up to the top level of the Chop House. But the good news is, you know what? It only counted for one run as the Braves do hold on. Evan Longoria flies out to end the ballgame. Braves get a 7-6 win. Kyle Wright picks up the victory with 5 1/3 innings, a four-run ball, 10 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Jesse Chavez, Will Smith, and Kenley Jansen are the three relievers used by Brian Snitker in yesterday's victory. So the Braves take 3 out of 4, and again, they've played really well here at Truist Park. The Braves have now won 10 of their last 11 here at home. They are 18-3 in the month of June, and again, for that narrative of, well, they only beat bad teams, and what's this double-A lineup I'm watching here? There was no Ronald Acuña Jr. yesterday, no Austin Riley, no Adam Duvall, and the Braves put up 7 runs on 10 base hits, Big day for Dansby and the company. They get the win. They take 3 out of 4 against a really good San Francisco ball club and continue to do really good things on all sides of the ball here. And they're going to need to keep that going as the Dodgers come calling here this weekend. As far as some of the post-game notes are concerned, Braves now 41-30 on the season. And don't look now, but on June the 1st, I put this on Twitter yesterday. On June the 1st, the Braves were 10.5 games back of the first place Mets in the National League East. Well, if you haven't checked lately, go take a peek. They're now 4 games back of the first place Metropolitans. They have trimmed 6.5 games off that lead in the span of 3 weeks. That does not happen very often, folks. And again, it goes to show you what a stretch like 18-3 can do to the standings and how quickly things can change in this game. For Dansby, we mentioned a leadoff homer, first of his career. And he actually had homered in back-to-back plate appearances. Go back to the 9th inning of the game on Wednesday night when he homered there to start that 3-run rally in the 9th. Swanson then being hit by a pitch in the 2nd and then homering in the 4th. So really, homering in 3 consecutive at-bats and 4 plate appearances, the span that he homered there. So good to see Dansby get this thing rolling offensively. And again, I put this thing on Twitter after a tough start. I hope Dansby didn't make plans for the All-Star break after the month of April, because I got a feeling he's going to find himself in Los Angeles representing the Braves in the All-Star game. Hey, speaking of Dansby, he was busy defensively yesterday. Braves converted 4 double plays in the first 4 innings behind Kyle Wright yesterday. That's the club's highest total since they also had 4 back on September 15th of 2019 at Washington. The Braves had a double play in the first, second, third, and fourth innings, marking the first time they've turned one in 4 consecutive innings since 2005 when they did it in the first 4 innings against the then Florida Marlins. And then the Marlins would end up hitting into 6 double plays in that ballgame, one shy of the major league record. As far as Kyle Wright, we mentioned 4 runs, 10 hits over 5 1/3, walked 1 and struck out 4, picked up the victory. He's now 8-4 on the season. 10 hits allowed were the most he surrendered in his career while still picking up a victory. And the Braves, speaking of hits, give up 14 base hits to the San Francisco Giants yesterday. Entering yesterday's game, the Braves were 0-5 this season when giving up 14 or more hits in a game. Let me check now. They are 1 in their last 1. They're 1-0 in their last 1, I should say. So again, the Giants had a lot of hits. They had a lot of base runners. They had a ton of traffic, but they just could not push across and get big knocks when they needed, especially early. They had 3 consecutive singles in the first against Kyle Wright and came up empty. And then, of course, traffic on the bases the first few innings, but he gets those double play balls and gets out of trouble. Meanwhile, it was a much different story for our old buddy Alex Wood. The Georgia Bulldog does not get through the 2nd inning yesterday. He faced the Braves for the 8th time in his career. He allowed 4 hits, 2 walks, 6 runs in an inning plus 6 batters worth of work. The 6 earned runs stand as the most he's allowed in a start this season and is a most since allowing 6 on June 19th of last year. Now, yesterday marked the 2nd shortest start of his career, only lasting longer than an outing July 9th, 2015. He only threw 2 pitches in that game, and then there was a huge, lengthy rain delay in the bottom of the 1st. So, of course, Woody did not come back out in that ballgame. Alex, initially a 2nd-round pick of the Braves back in 2012, had some good numbers in a couple of seasons with the Braves before being traded out of town. So Alex Wood, one of the really good guys in the game, just a tough day for him here in Atlanta yesterday. So the Braves take 3 out of 4 from the Giants. San Francisco 38-32. Braves now 41-30. They are 4 games back of the Mets, and they'll try to make things even closer as they get set for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's right, Freddie Freeman making his return to the place he called home for all those years. And I've got a feeling that, look, I don't know how Freddie Freeman slept last night. I've known Freddie now for about 12 years. Freddie, one of the all-time good guys. And I'll say this about Freddie. He's an emotional guy. He wears it on his sleeve. You know that. He did so much for this organization over the years. Coming up as a 20-year-old back in 2010, and having Chipper Jones as a mentor, a guy he could look up to, how to be a team leader, a guy who initially, when Chipper retired after 2012, didn't view himself as a team leader. And you'll hear Freddie talk about that coming up here in just a couple of moments. I remember the conversation because Chipper was having a very candid chat. It was at Wrigley Field in 2012. And he said, well, the organization is in great shape. They've got their number 3 hitter for the next decade. And he pointed over at Freddie's locker and said, that's your guy. He's going to be the new face face of the franchise. Of course, Freddie gets that long-term deal in 2014, and he was a five-time All-Star with the Braves. He was an MVP. He is an MVP. You don't ever lose it. You are an MVP. Five All-Star appearances, a Gold Glove, finally recognized for his defense, which we knew was really, really good, but finally gets that Gold Glove in 2018. Three-time Silver Slugger Award winner, including last season, a year that saw him hit 300 right on the nose, 159 ball games. He led the league in plate appearances, led the National League with 120 runs scored. Matter of fact, last two seasons, Freddie has led the National League in runs scored in 2020 and 2021. You go back to the season in 2018, he had 191 base hits. He hit 309, 44 doubles, 23 homers. He drove in 98 runs. And then, of course, the season where he takes down the MVP in the COVID-shortened year, 23 doubles, 13 homers, 53 RBI in 60 ball games. Braves got oh so close to a World Series appearance in 2020, and then they finally kicked down the door last year. A World Series champ, an MVP, finished in the top 10 in MVP voting. Let's see how many times. 6 times he's finished in the top 10 in MVP voting. 13 seasons in the majors, and if you haven't taken a look, yeah, he's having a Freddie Freeman season once again. He's hitting 303, 23 doubles, couple of triples, 8 home runs, and the power numbers have started to come around. He had, I believe it was 3 or 4 homers in the most recent series at Great American Ballpark. He's driven in 45 runs, and so Freddie has been a consistent force right there in the second spot of Dave Roberts' lineup for the Dodgers. So again, it's going to be an emotional night at Truist Park. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure there'll be a tribute video the team will show for Freddie before he steps on the field. They're going to give him his World Series ring. You know there's going to be some tears in the eyes of Freddie and from Snit and from a number of folks. I'm sure his family will be in the building here tonight. When they say play ball, I've got a feeling at some point in the next 3 nights, Freddie's going to have a Freddie moment where he gets up there with, you know, bases loaded, 2 outs, and hits a ball into the gap. Hope I'm wrong. And if he does that, folks, you can boo him then. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what you can and what you can't do. You're a fan. You're going to pay for the ticket. You're going to have the right to do whatever you want when they make the announcement that Freddie Freeman is on the field. First at bat, though, I've got a feeling all 3 nights he's going to get a good standing ovation. Heck, I think back to Chase Utley in Philadelphia when he went back all those years ago and all that he accomplished. They played his walk-up song when he came up to bat for the first time. I don't know if the Braves will do that tonight. I don't know what they have planned. I don't have any insight as far as what the pregame will look like or what the ceremonies will be for Freddie, but I've got a feeling that when he gets his ring, when he climbs in the batter's box for the first time, he's going to be standing all alone in that circle, and it's going to be probably a very lonely place, and I got a feeling you're going to see a lot of tears from Freddie when he steps in there tonight. So if you're going to the ballpark, like I said, do what you want. If you want to cheer, if you want to boo, if you want to just sit on your hands and do nothing, that's fine. But I got a feeling that north of 40,000 folks are going to give Freddie the respect and that he deserves before the game starts. Again, he comes up to bat in the ninth. There's 2 on and 2 out. Boo him all you want, folks. But I'm just here to tell you, Freddie is a guy that there's a lot of false narratives about, that he chased more money or that he wanted to go play at home or this or that. I'm just here to tell you, don't believe everything that maybe you've read on the rumor mill. He wanted to play here, and Bowman and I talked about it on the Clubhouse Report. The only place he wanted to play was Atlanta. It didn't work out, so that's when he went elsewhere. But believe me when I tell you how much you, the fans, have meant to him. He told us that in Los Angeles. You'll hear him mention that here in a few moments. This city has meant so much to Freddie, and again, I've got a feeling that it's going to be quite a night for him and his family here tonight. So if you're headed to the ballpark, it's going to feel like playoff baseball. It's going to feel like the NLCS. 2 really good teams, Braves coming in, playing their best baseball of the season. Dodgers had about a week and a half where they weren't swinging it well. Unfortunately, they're starting to go a little bit in the other direction now, but they're doing it without Mookie Betts. So that's one big bat not in the lineup for Dave Roberts' bunch here tonight. But again, that's not taking anything away from what this lineup can accomplish. You know how deep and talented the Dodgers are with Trey Turner. He's a noted Brave killer. Will Smith has been really good for Los Angeles here lately. Max Muncy's numbers aren't good, but he is always a power threat, especially in a ballpark that's hitter-friendly for lefties. Justin Turner, again, another guy whose numbers aren't great. He's hitting 220 on the season. He did have a 3-for-5 day yesterday. Cody Bellinger, he was 3-for-4 yesterday in the series finale in Cincinnati. So, again, hopefully that 10-run output in the Great American Ballpark doesn't get the Dodgers feeling good about themselves. Hopefully the Braves can keep them as much at bay as possible here over the next three nights. It's Ian Anderson on the mound for the Braves tonight. He'll be taking on Julio Urias. Good pitching matchup. Our coverage starts with the Ford leadoff show tonight, 6:05 Eastern, and then we'll turn it over to Ben and Jim. Braves and Dodgers playoff atmosphere tonight for the first of three here at Truist Park. All right, we're going to step aside for a break. When we return, we're going to hear from Freddie Freeman, my conversation I had with him back in April in Los Angeles. If you missed it, we're going to replay that for you. You'll get his thoughts on seeing his former teammates, what it's going to be like to be back in Atlanta, what the organization and what you fans and SNIT mean to him moving forward, and more. Freddie Freeman joins us on the other side on Friday's edition of the Frozen Rope Report here on the Braves Radio Network.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Hey everyone, K-Mac here for my good friends at Duck's Dugout. Now, what is Duck's Dugout? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's over 6,000 square feet of sports memorabilia, and they are celebrating their grand opening coming up all weekend long right here in Marietta. Duck's Dugout, 2800 Canton Road in Marietta, and they are kicking things off with a bang all weekend long. Hey, today is Friday. You know what that means? If you want to meet Braves closer Kenley Jansen, he'll be signing autographs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. over at Duck's Dugout, and then tomorrow morning, they are really making a splash. Dansby Swanson, Eddie Rosario, A.J. Minter, William Contreras will all be in the building signing autographs coming up tomorrow throughout the day. If you want more details, check them out online now at ducksdugout.com. Now, if you're looking for rare sports memorabilia, presidential items, you name it, they've got it from Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, NFL legends, you name it, they've got it. And if there's something you're looking for, I got a feeling they can help you find that as well. Duck's Dugout, right here in Marietta, about 15 minutes from the ballpark, not far from downtown Atlanta as well. Again, 2800 Canton Road in Marietta. Make sure you stop on by, enjoy their grand opening celebration. Autographed items out the door. You won't believe. If you're looking for it, I can almost promise you they're going to have it for you. And again, a chance to meet a number of your favorite Braves players all weekend long. You want more details and store hours and how to get those autographed tickets? Visit them online now at ducksdugout.com. Hey friends, are you looking to sell your home? Well, I know what you're thinking. Selling a property can be quite stressful, especially these days in this market. But I gotta tell you, there's one winning team you can trust to help get your home sold for top dollar, and that's my good friends with RPM Home Advisors. With a 93% sales success rate, RPM will lead you through your entire real estate transaction, and they're gonna take care of every last detail so you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Hey, you wanna speak to an agent today? Give them a call, 404-541-3555. Now, the RPM team lives and works right there in your neighborhood, and they have decades of experience along with local neighborhood knowledge. Don't gamble on your biggest investment. Hire an RPM agent today. Now, get this. For my listeners, RPM is offering a free home staging consultation when you list your property with their team. Want more details? Of course you do. Visit them online at rpmhomestaging.com or call 404-541-3555. That's rpmhomestaging.com, 404-541-3555. And we're back with you on a Friday morning. Kevin McAlpin here with you. Appreciate you joining us for the Frozen Rope Report. Braves and Dodgers coming up tonight. It's a 7:20 first pitch. That puts us on the air at 6:05 Eastern with the Ford leadoff show. Domino and I will walk you up to first pitch. And yes, you will hear from Freddie Freeman coming up on the Ford leadoff show. Get his thoughts on what it's like walking in that visitor's clubhouse here for the first time at Truist Park. All right, speaking of Freddie, a couple of months ago, I had a chance to sit down with the former Brave first baseman and get his thoughts on how things went down this offseason, what it's like to see his old teammates, and more. Here is Frederick Charles Freeman as he got set to face the Braves for the first time a couple of months ago.
Here at Dodger Stadium with a guy who, let's be honest, needs no introduction. He's Dodgers first baseman, Freddie Freeman. Have you gotten used to that yet?
I have not. It's only been 1 month, so I'm still getting used to a lot of things, trying to get my feet on the ground and get my bearings all settled, but each day is getting a little bit more and more comfortable, and things are going a lot smoother over the last week or so. Having my family come to every game is definitely nice, but definitely still a little weird.
You get a chance to see the Braves early in the season, and I know you said that you don't need closure, you don't need to move. How nice was it, though, just to get a chance to reconnect with so many of these guys?
That was the thing I was looking forward to most. Obviously, I didn't know how yesterday was going to go. emotions and all that. But being able to see the guys, because I haven't really seen anybody since the parade last year because of the, you know, me living in California, the lockout and things like that. So it was just good. It was a good day. It really was, to be able to see all the guys that you reached the top with that we did last year. So it was just, you know, obviously there's so many emotions going through my mind and my heart, but at the end of the day, it was just a pure happiness day because I got to see all the guys again.
When you step in that box, how do you control those emotions? That can't be easy the first time you're staring down these guys, right?
No, it definitely wasn't. It was weird walking in the box and seeing Travis. It was weird seeing a gray Atlanta jersey that I've worn for 12 years. Just a lot of weirdness yesterday, but you know, that's the beauty of this thing, is once you get between those lines, for some reason things just kind of settle down, and you know you got a game and a job to do. But you know, I'm glad it was the first one was here, because I know in June I really don't know if I'm gonna be able to keep my emotions in check for that, and nor should I, because of all the love and history I've had in Atlanta. I really don't know how that's gonna go. It's hard to, you know, foreshadow what my emotions are gonna be, but I'm looking forward to it. I really am. So I can't wait to get the ring. That's what I'm looking forward to most, because it's more than a ring for me. It's all the hard work and dedication and the grinding and the losing seasons, all that. That's what the ring's all about for me. It's not a piece of jewelry, even though it looks beautiful, but I haven't seen it in person. They tried to show me yesterday, a couple of the guys, I said, no. First time I want to see it is go on my finger, because it's more than a ring for me. So I need these 2 months to go fast, just so I can get there and get to Atlanta and see everybody again and get the ring.
Second pitch you see from Waskari Noah, you put it in the seats. What's going through your mind when you're rounding the bases there?
Not really much of anything. That's kind of one of those, I think when you have those blackout moments, you just hit it. I knew I hit it good, but I've hit a couple balls good over the first 9 games that went, like, didn't even hit the wall or it got caught. So I was like, I don't know if this is going to go out or not. So, but when, you know, I saw the umpire doing the home run signal and I rounded second and I looked up and saw all my family up in the suite jumping up and down, you know, it was special. You know, Trey Turner was saying before the game, he was like, that was awesome that you waited 10 games before to hit your first home run against the Braves. I said, oh, I just started kind of laughing. And when I gave him a high five, he goes, told you, you know. But it was just one of those things that, you know, it's, there was nothing about it. It was just a home run to me, you know. But, you know, I think everyone wanted to create a storyline out of it. But that was just a home run for me that finally glad I got the first one out of the way with the Dodgers.
Hey, take us back. Obviously, after the parade, there's a lot of uncertainty during the lockout.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough being a free agent, but even more so during the lockout. I mean, how difficult was that 3 months, just sort of not knowing what was going to happen for you?
You would be surprised, actually. It was actually nice. I had no worries, you know? Like, there was nothing going on, so I didn't really have to worry about anything. I just got to be a dad, you know, and just no information coming in, nothing I had to worry about. You know, being a free agent, that was the first time for me. And it was weird for the month leading up to the lockout, and obviously it was really weird coming out of the lockout, but during the lockout, there was no stress. There was nothing going on. So every day I didn't have to be by my phone, and I was just be able to be a full-time dad, which is, you know, my number one thing in my life is to be able to do so. But off-season was definitely a little weird, but, you know, being able to be home and not connecting, being able to connect with, like, Snit and all those guys, that was the hard thing. Like, you know, when you win the World Series and then 3 weeks later you can't talk to anybody, that's a little weird. But, you know, relationships are back. Me and Snit were texting last night after the game, and Walt and everyone, so it's just good again.
Seems like if you had to go somewhere, to come into a clubhouse that there's this much star power around, I think it's one thing if you sign in with a new team and you're kind of the main focal point, but to have so many other guys in this clubhouse, did that sort of help this transition a little bit for you?
I think it helped that I knew a lot of the guys here. Andrew Friedman, Mark Walters, Dave Roberts, everyone has had their arms open as big as they possibly could to help this transition, because everyone knows it's a hard transition. I've made it known to them that it was a hard transition. This was going to be tough and I need help, you know. So every day is getting a little bit better. but it's a wonderful organization. The last month is, even Alex, when I talked to him, said you're gonna love it here. They do everything right, and they've been doing everything they possibly can to help this transition go as smooth as possible. So it's been a good month so far.
Another minute or two with Freddie Freeman. When you think back to Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, the fan base, everything that you've experienced over the years, what will that time in Atlanta and what will those fans mean to you moving forward?
Everyone talks about closure and this and that. I said, I don't want any closure. You know, there's no closure for me. I'm always going to be an Atlanta Brave. I spent 12 years, 15 years in that organization. We accomplished so many great things, so many wonderful memories, so many couple of rebuilding years that were hard, but it made everything that much more special. Like I told you guys, the coming out of that rebuild is going to be so much more special in four division series, four division championships and one World Series. Snit gets manager of the year. All of that is in there. And then, you know, last year when I hit the home run against Hader in the NLDS and getting the curtain call from Atlanta, that is something I'm going to have forever. That means everything. I think everyone knows how I feel about Braves country. I know things have been a little harsh said to me and my family over the last month, but I can't wait to get back there in June because I love playing in that stadium and love playing in front of those fans because those are one of the best fan bases there is. So I'm looking forward to it again.
I mean, you grew up in this organization. Yeah. You went from a young guy that was looking at Chipper Jones to a guy who was a leader in the clubhouse. I remember you told me after Chipper retired, I'm not a leader. That's not me. My walk-up song is "Call Me Maybe." Yeah. And then you get married, you have kids, and then here you are. You're the guy that everyone looks up to. I mean, what does that mean to you when you reflect back after all those years?
That's just so many wonderful memories. You know, the business side of it, I saw in 14, all my friends got traded away, and then I was thrown into that role, and you know, I was trying to push it away because you know I was 24, 25. I didn't want it. I just wanted to just play baseball and have fun. And then, you know, as you grow up in this organization, I did sign when I was 17 and build the relationships, and the Braves across your chest means so much and meant so much to me that you just wanted to represent it as the best as you possibly could. And, you know, I tried to do that. And, you know, I love doing it every single day. That's my favorite thing about it. But, you know, you grow into that kind of thing and, you know, I just tried to play the game the right way, treat everybody the right way, and you know I feel like I did it the right way, and you know that's what I'm holding on to.
Last one for you. What will Brian Snitker mean for you and your career moving forward?
I told him last night after the game because we were talking, and I said I don't know what's the next 6 years and six plus are in store, but I said somehow, some way, I feel like our friendship and our bond will get stronger. Mm-hmm. I really do. Brian means so much to me and my family. You know, you get choked up thinking about him. He was my third base coach when I got called up. And my favorite memory of Brian, it was the first day he got the job. We were in Pittsburgh. We were 9-28. And after he gave his opening speech in that Pittsburgh clubhouse, it felt like we were 28-9. That man has been through so much in his life, in his baseball life. And the success that he's gotten to receive over the last 5-6 years, manager of the years, World Series champion, that is special. It's special for me because I love that man to death, and he's always going to be, like he said a couple weeks ago, we were talking on the phone, he goes, I can't wait to come to Charlie's wedding. You know, it's just like baseball relationships, baseball teammates, player manager, player coaches, that's going to be there for a little bit, but afterwards it's going to be a lot longer. You're not going to be a baseball player anymore. So the friendships you build, that's what it's all about for me. And me and Snit as close as you can possibly get, and I believe somehow, some way, it's going to get even stronger because we've been, over the last month, we've talked probably 6-7 times, so, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
I think you're the only guy that I've ever heard call him Brian too. How do you get away with that?
I call him by everyone. If you walk through this in the clubhouse, Walter, I call Weiss Walter. Everyone calls me Frederick here too, so that's just kind of how it is. I'm a big first name person because I feel like it's more personable, that you took the time to care about that person to get them. So I'm that's kind of like how I am. So if you were to go through, everyone would call me Frederick, and I would call everybody by their first name. So, Brian is, I love Brian, and I'll always call him Brian.
Well, Freddie, I know I speak for a lot of folks back in Atlanta, across the Southeast. We thank you for everything. Wish you the best of luck moving forward, and always a professional with the media, man. We appreciate it, and we wish you the best moving forward.
Thank you, Kevin, very much. I appreciate it.
Again, look, I'm not here to tell you what to do, who to cheer for, who to boo. You do what you want. You're paying for your tickets tonight and the next three nights. Whatever you want to do, feel free to do it. I'm just saying, I do think Freddie deserves quite a lengthy ovation, and I think he'll get it at least before his first at-bat here over the next few nights. Again, hopefully you'll join us for all of our coverage on the Braves Radio Network if you can't be there. An emotional scene for sure as Freddie and the Dodgers come to town here for three this weekend. All right, before we say goodbye, time to take a peek at this date in baseball history. It was on this date, June 24th of 1947, at Forbes Field, Jackie Robinson would steal home in a Dodgers 4-2 victory over the Pirates. Now, it is the first steal of home for Robinson, something he would do 19 times during his 10-year career. We talk all the time about unbreakable records, things that will never see happen ever again. All those steals of home, we're never, ever going to see that happen here again. All right, a couple of more for you here. It was on this date in 1953. The Braves would sign right-hander Joey Jay out of Middletown, Connecticut, as an amateur free agent. Now, the 17-year-old bonus baby would become the first former Little Leaguer to ever play in Major League Baseball. How about that? On this date in 1953, Joey Jay from Middletown, Connecticut. There's a baseball name. Joey, you had to play baseball if you were named Joey Jay. First Little Leaguer ever to make it to Major League Baseball. A couple years later, it was on this date in 1955 that Harmon Killebrew hits his first Major League home run in Washington's 18-7 loss to the Tigers. Now, the 18-year-old rookie who would become known as Killer later in his career would finish a 22-year Hall of Fame career with 573 career home runs. There you go. On this date in 1955, Harmon Killebrew hits the first of 573 career home runs. All right, a couple of more for you. It was on this date in 1960 that Stan the Man Musial returns to the Cardinals lineup after being benched by skipper Solly Hemus, who tried to implement a youth movement at the start of the season. The 39-year-old future Hall of Famer responds with a base hit in the team's 4-3 loss to Philadelphia on this date in 1960. And how about this one? On this date in 1970, in the last game played at Crosley Field, Lee May and Johnny Bench hit back-to-back homers in the eighth to give the Reds a comeback 5-4 victory. After the game, home plate would be presented by the team to the mayor of Cincinnati and then flown by helicopter to the Reds' new home of Riverfront Stadium, which, as we now know, is a parking lot right next to Great American Ballpark there in Cincinnati on this date. Final game ever played at Crosley Field. And you know what? I think that's one of the ones we play on MLB The Show. I believe that's on there. My son and I, we love to play in the old school stadiums, and we love to play games in Crosley Field there. So there you go. On this date, June 24th, they played the final game in that building. And let's see, one or two more. Is there anything else? I was looking earlier. Oh, here's one. This is the one I wanted to point out. It was on this date. If you haven't seen the photo, look this one up. On this date in 2016, the Lexington Legends, a Class A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals, gave away a Glenn Hubbard bobblehead depicting him with a snake draped around his neck. Now, the former Braves infielder's 1984 Fleer baseball card with him holding a real 8-foot boa constrictor inspired that bobblehead. It's one that I was hoping I could get my hands on years ago. Just never ended up happening. So if anybody has an extra Glenn Hubbard snake bobblehead doll, let me know. I'll throw you a couple bucks, or maybe we can make some kind of other trade to find a way to make that happen. But if you haven't seen the photo or the baseball card, it's one of the all-time greats. Glenn Hubbard, his snake, the 8-foot boa constrictor, turned into a bobblehead on this date in 2016. All right, that's going to do it for our show here today. As always, we thank you for joining us. Like, subscribe. Don't forget to follow all of our coverage all season long. If you can't be in the building tonight, join us for all of our coverage. Ford Leadoff Show, 6:05 Eastern, first pitch. Braves and Dodgers, an emotional night, no doubt about it, here at Truist Park coming up. And again, hopefully you'll join us for the Ford Leadoff Show, the presentation of the game call, and then the Hyundai postgame show and Braves wrap-up immediately following the final out with yours truly right here on the world champion Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.